Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel vining, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, please smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, knock that out while you're here. And while you're doing that, let me remind you what we got going on. It's called the Summer Shoot-Around. It's a series during which we'll focus on 20 notable teams over a span of 10 weeks, two per week, 20 teams in 10 weeks. We're almost done. We're doing them in alphabetical order. Knocked out Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, Creighton, Duke, Gonzaga, Houston, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio State, and Tennessee. Really don't think it's necessary for me to keep doing that.
It's not.
Now we turn our attention to Texas. The Longhorns, they went 22-12 last season, finished fourth in the Big 12, got a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament, beat Virginia Tech in the first round, then lost to Purdue in the second round. From that team, they lost Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey. That's two of the top four scorers. But they're bringing back Timmy Allen, Marcus Carr, Christian Bishop. And they're adding a top 10 recruiting class highlighted by Iowa State transfer Tyrese Hunter and five-star freshman Dylan Mitchell and Artario Morris. I got Texas ranked 12th in the top 25-1. We'll see what Norlander thinks of Chris Beard's Longhorns next. But first, a word from our partners.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Deadleg. I got Texas 12th in the top 25 and one that's 12th in the nation, third in the Big 12 behind Baylor and Kansas. How much do you like what's going to be Chris Beard's second team in Austin?
You wouldn't happen to remember what you had Texas going into last season, would you? I feel like you had them like 5 or 6, something
like
that.
Yeah, it was up there. I had them picked to win the Big 12, I think.
Yeah. So this is more reasonable.
I should be smarter than that.
No. Well, I mean, you're up.
They're not good.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. you opened it up for me.
I was wrong.
Okay. Not wrong. No. Everyone had Texas ranked highly, even yours truly. Although I did fade them a little bit. I want to say that I had them about where you have them now. I had them 12 or 13 in my rankings heading into last season. This is more reasonable. And you know, if you want a little bit of a spicy take, I think Timmy Allen could win Big 12 Player of the Year. I think that's on the table. I really like his game. Him coming back is the reason Texas is even viably considered a top 20 preseason team. His numbers last year were good, not great, but he was central to a lot of what they did, and I think he will become even more valuable. Even though, you know, he's a big, he's not not a guard. He's not going to have the ball in his hands on every single possession necessarily, but he averaged 12 points, 6.5 boards, more than 2 assists a game, and he is their best player. I think if you would ask the staff heading into last season, that would have been their opinion, and I don't think that opinion would have changed at all throughout and is still going to be the case here. Now, Marcus Carr is back. He averaged better than 11 points and better than 3 assists, and you know, he was good. I feel like we talked about this when we might have previewed, say, the Big 12 heading into last season when we didn't do the shoot around series a year ago. But I thought that you and I both, like, you know, faded him just a little bit. Like, he had a little too much hype, maybe a little too much expectation. Then again, that kind of went hand in hand with Texas going into last season overall. But him coming back, I think, is big. Christian Bishop is back. Dylan Dessou, who faced injury at the beginning of last season, he would be the potential breakout guy. I actually think that he could be a major factor in getting Texas to top 3 status in the Big 12, getting Texas to where it could be seeded with a 3 or a 4 next to its name overall. And then, of course, and I'll save most of this for you, but Tyrese Hunter coming aboard. I think Tyrese Hunter is fairly like a top 3 to 5 transfer this season, where I wasn't as sold on that with Carr a year ago, which isn't anything against Carr. Just, you know, I just didn't think that he was necessarily going to be that impactful. Hunter, I actually think, will be. He averaged 11 points, 5 assists, 3.5 boards, 2 steals, more than 3 turnovers at Iowa State. Elite defender, shot needs improvement. There's a bit more with the roster we can get to here, but I just wanted to lay it out for you and kind of volley it back over to you, because I know you've got some questions here. And I do as well, but we just did the Tennessee episode, and I kind of feel like these two teams are pretty close overall in terms of how good I think they'll be. Texas's schedule has different challenges than Tennessee's, so we'll get to regular season win totals in a bit here. But your thoughts on Hunter coming aboard and what Texas has and what Beard has here in an intriguing second season in Austin.
First, let's look back real quick, because it's wild. If I think back to Texas last season, you know, I go, yeah, they were okay. You know, they were not what they were supposed to be, but they were okay. That's the way I remember them. Truth is, they finished 15th at KenPom.
Yes.
Now, they only got a 6th seed in the NCAA tournament, but they did finish, you know, top 15 at KenPom. I think the reason my perception of just being okay is that they never went on any sort of like run, or like once the calendar flipped to January, I looked this up this morning, they never won more than 3 games in a row rest of the season. They never were like, and Texas has won 5 straight. They never had anything like that.
That'll be just part of it. Yeah. We never hopped on a podcast and said, hey, they've won 6 straight here. What about this? That just never happened. Yeah.
They would win 2, lose 1, win 3, lose 2, win 2, lose 1. It was just, they never got rolling. They finished 10-8 in the Big 12, which underlines that point. But they were good. Perhaps not what at least I thought they would be, but they were, that was a good basketball team. Obviously, adding Tyrese Hunter to the roster, I think, is really good. He's big, reigning Big 12 Freshman of the Year. He was among the keys of T.J. Osterberger being able to turn that Iowa State program dramatically in his first year. Like, part of that was Tyrese Hunter. A big part of that was Tyrese Hunter. So you put him in the backcourt with Marcus Carr. Both those guys can play point guard. I like backcourts with two guys who can both play point guard. What I don't like is having two below average shooters in the backcourt together. And that's what they are. You know, Tyrese Hunter shot 27% from 3 last season.
That's really why he's not in the NBA right now. If Tyrese Hunter had been an above average shooter, he would have been gone to the pros.
Marcus Carr shot 30. Marcus Carr has played 4 years of college basketball at 3 different schools, and he's a career 33.8% 3-point shooter. I don't like that. I don't like not having shooting in your backcourt, and they don't really. I know that either one of them can make shots and, you know, streaky and all that, but they're not reliable 3-point shooters. Dylan Mitchell, the 5-star freshman. A top 5 player in class of 2022, great athlete, plus defender, terrific in transition, questionable shooter. And then you got, like, if we're just, you know, playing out a possible starting lineup, Timmy Allen, 26.7% from three. Christian Bishop, 33% from three. There's like zero good shooters in the starting lineup. Athletic team, but certainly broadly speaking, you would have to label it on paper as a non-shooting team. Now, here's the good news. They only shot 33% from three last season, which ranked 215th in the country, and they still finished top 15 at KenPom. So Chris has shown that he can have a good team, even if it's a team largely filled with non-shooters or below-average shooters. But if you were asking me, okay, GP, you clearly like them. You've got them 12th in the nation, third in the Big 12, but argue against them. Tell me why they might be fatally flawed to actually live up to expectations. The first thing you point to is the shooting, I think.
Fair. There could be, and it appears that there will be a ceiling on this team. But they can, you know, if it's a typical beer team that can win with a lot of ruggedness, the athleticism is definitely there. And if they've got, you know, a good level of toughness there, they should be able to get it done. And certainly, I say certainly, feel like a top half of the Big 12 kind of team there. They do have enough size and talent. The shooting is a fair point. And if you're going to resist on them, I think that's also fair. Your point on them finishing 15th at KenPom, it's all, you know, victim of their own expectation. Who does that fall on? It falls on, frankly, the media and a little bit the fans, but mostly the media. We are the ones collectively here that put that team on a fairly high pedestal going into last season.
I'm gonna blame the fans.
Okay.
I think I'm blaming the fans for that.
Right, well, you know what? You do that. I was trying to be a little bit more diplomatic. Brock Cunningham's also back. He is as tough of a player. Beer told me he's as tough as a player as they had. So getting him back is important. Mitchell back. Rowan Brombaugh, a combo guard who I saw play multiple times. He's good. We'll see how many. Like, I think he's a guy who year two, year three, he plays more. And then they've got another five-star player. There's a couple of off-season stories with Texas that have not fully yet been explained. Arterio Morris was top 25 player, and he's under a Title IX investigation right now because a former girlfriend of his shared images and text messages and on stuff on social media back over the summer that alleged, like, you know, threatening behavior, domestic violence against Arterio Morris. Those things have since been deleted from social media, and Texas is undergoing a Title IX review. He's on the roster, but they have not made any kind of statement about any, if he has faced a suspension or if he will. So we kind of wait on Morris's situation there. And then Jarence Howard left the staff. Jarence Howard is one of the more well-known assistants in the entire country, was previously at Kansas under Bill Self, you know, from Illinois, and he was with Texas for one season. And I checked last night, and, you know, unless he's been hired to a staff and it hasn't been announced yet, he's not on a staff right now. And that's not something that, you know, Jarence Howard is, you know, well-liked in the college basketball community and certainly would be coveted by many a power conference program. I don't know why. That has not been explained yet either. There are coaches that I saw on the trail in July that asked me, you know, this hasn't been announced yet, but Jarence Howard's like out at Texas. Do you know why that is? I have not gotten an answer for that. I don't know what the reason is and won't speculate. But, you know, there just have been a couple things with this program that have happened and transpired that, you know, that they don't signal happy things. And we have not gotten any kind of explanation for that. So certainly felt that was worth addressing on a Texas pod as we get ready to head into the season.
Right. Jarence no longer being there is certainly a notable offseason story. The situation with the unresolved, I'm assuming it's unresolved situation with Arterio Morris, obviously not ideal. Clearly, you want every five-star you sign, you want available. But, you know, he's a point guard. They've got two point guards in their starting lineup. Like, if you can afford to, like, not have one of your five-star guys, like, Texas with Arterio Morris is possibly in a position to overcome that because of the presence of Tyrese Hunter and Marcus Carr. But, you know, on that, we'll see. They also enrolled Serge Jabari Rice from New Mexico State, who was a double-digit scorer past three seasons. Also, below-average shooter, 33.4% career three-point shooter. But I know Chris is really high on him. He has said, I think he told John Fanta this, that they identified Tyrese Hunter and Serge Ibari Rice as the top two targets in the transfer portal. He even went so far as to say, that's not BS. Like, I'm telling you the truth. Those are the two guys we prioritized, and we got them both. And obviously, Hunter has gotten the majority of the attention, but Rice is really well thought of within that program. So the roster is nice. I guess if I were just a little skeptical of them being a legitimate championship contender, it would be because of the on-paper lack of shooting. One thing that I think is also important to note, they're opening a new arena, Moody Center.
Mm-hmm.
$338 million on-campus facility, and it's going to hold 10,000 for basketball games. Now, they can expand it up to 15,000 for big games, but it is more often than not, you know, it's going to hold just 10,000. Like, that's a smaller, you know, arena than what they've been playing in. And Texas has always been a place where, I don't know, maybe it wasn't the greatest home court advantage, but I honestly think with few exceptions, everybody should be going smaller. Like, you know, you put 9,000 people in a 10,000 seat arena, it looks and feels great. You put 9,000 people in a 17,000 seat arena, it doesn't look or feel great. And so I think Texas, like, as a basketball team, will benefit from this because they'll have, I'm assuming, more of a home court advantage than they've had, you know, in a long time, and for much of even those highly successful Rick Barnes years. You know, making the capacity smaller and creating a better environment, I think, you know, becomes a real advantage on a game-to-game basis.
And becomes an advantage in recruiting. I mean, I've been told, I haven't been down there yet, but yes, I mean, state-of-the-art arena and the consulting on the build on the construction of this Moody Center was done with, you know, Austin is one of, like, you know, the four or five biggest music cities in the country. And so a lot of people in the entertainment industry live in Austin or have a second home in Austin or a third home in Austin. And when they built this, like, it was built with, you know, being a sports complex first, but being an entertainment hub. They've already held many concerts there.
Kendrick Lamar was there.
Kendrick Lamar, you know, plenty of them. You know, DMB played like one of the first five or six shows there when it opened earlier this spring. And the way I'm told that it was built, and I literally talked to someone on the music side about this almost a year ago, was, like, if you're Texas football or basketball and you're having official visits, like, the way it's constructed, you can have recruits going for official visits and, like, intermingling with legitimate, like, A-level music talent. However it's constructed, where, like, there's just intercommingling areas if they want to arrange those kind of things, and you can see all sorts of ways that the Moody Center can be used and can be like a place that you want to go to as a student athlete there. You know, every school is trying to create some sort of advantage in the recruiting wars with facilities or whatever. I've been told that the Moody Center in particular and the way that it was built and all the amenities there is unlike literally any other home arena in college basketball right now. And given that it's in Austin, I also think that's a pretty cool thing. Whether that leads to Texas being back on the gridiron, we'll see, or if Chris Beard can really get this thing where they're ranked, you know, top 10 to 15 year in, year out. We'll see, but certainly that stuff can't hurt. You want to do over-unders?
Can't wait to see the pictures of Timmy Allen hanging out with Dave Matthews.
There we go. All right. Regular season win total. We got the round robin in Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
So no details need to be shared there. They're going to play home and away with everyone, as always. A few more years left here for Texas in the Big 12. Non-conference. First big game. Gonzaga, home and home. I went there last year in Spokane when Drew Timmy destroyed Texas.
Hold up. Hold the F up. You're telling me Texas went and played at the Kennel?
That's right. They played at the Kennel.
What in the world? A real home and home? A real home and home.
It's true.
That's awful brave. It's awful brave of Chris Beard.
I guess so. So this is the return. That's November 16, second week of the season. should be a tremendous, tremendous game. Given that Gonzaga is going on the road, Texas have a real shot there. Then the next notable game for Texas is home against Creighton December 1st. Then they'll play Illinois in the Jimmy V on December 6th. Probably three tournament teams there. Stanford and Dallas on December 18th. We'll see about Stanford. They haven't made a tournament since 2015. And then they're at Tennessee, SEC Big 12 Challenge. We told you that on the previous episode about the Vols. That's the only road game in non-con for Chris Beard's Longhorns. That's obviously baked into the TV schedule, so he didn't have a say in that. But just one roadie, two neutrals, Illinois and Stanford, and then home against Gonzaga, and then Creighton might be the best team in the Big East. So you go first this time. How many wins is Texas going to have in the regular season as it makes the turn into the Big 12 tournament in early March?
Is that normal, Big 12 SEC, like the two teams to play 2 years in a row?
I don't think it's normal. But is that what happened? Texas and Tennessee played last year too?
Yeah, because I think Rick went back to Austin last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I'll go three non-league losses.
Okay. So you think,
and that might be on the high side.
It's not inconceivable. I mean, Gonzaga, Creighton at Tennessee, they can lose all three of those games.
Yeah, but they
those are two home losses. But yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go two non-league losses.
Okay.
I'm going to go two non-league losses. And I've got them third in the Big 12. Last year, third in the Big 12 was 12-6. So I'm going to go 8 losses in the regular season. That puts me at what, 23-8 in the heading into the Big 12 tournament. Texas will be 23-8.
All right, I'll go 22-9. I had 22-9 here only because of the strength of the Big 12. Mark me down for a home loss to Gonzaga. I'll have them beating Creighton. I'll have them beating Illinois and Stanford, losing at Tennessee. So two losses there, and then just 7 losses in the Big 12 because, you know, got to play everyone on the road there. So you got 23. I got 22 heading in. Another intriguing year for Texas. You know, it's been that way for a while, going back to Shaka Smart. And, you know, it's intriguing for different reasons, but this is the second season under Beard, and we'll see. If not having as much of a spotlight on them winds up benefiting them, because yes, while there are still some expectations there, it's not near the level it was heading into last year when Beard was regarded. I mean, in Candid Coaches, he was the best hire. Texas was picked almost universally in the top 10, many people in the top 5. And, you know, this year, at least some of that pressure will be off.
Yeah. I'll go loss at Tennessee, split Creighton Gonzaga, win everything else in the non-league. And then go be 23-8 heading into the Big 12 tournament. That seems reasonable. And that would be that'd be a perfectly good year, right?
It would be. Yes. Totally acceptable.
Totally acceptable. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck and Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening. Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars. Nice review. Type some words. There's more of us than there are of them. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I just get bored. I say the same thing every time. Just bored with it, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel,
just toss it to me. I'll say a few words. We'll mix it up, you know?
Yeah, say something.
We'll mix it. Listen.
Go ahead. You say something.
Okay. Subscribe to the YouTube channel because it's not just this. It's not just looking at us, okay? We've also got plenty of content that isn't in the podcast feed. Consider it a podcast when you're listening on your phone, but consider it like, you know, a show, if you will, when you're watching on YouTube or watching on your phone. There's plenty of stuff for you to look at there. So we're trying to get the subscription number up as we head into the season there. And yes, we appreciate everyone that is supporting this podcast, and you've helped continue to give us a successful offseason, and you're the real ones. If you're listening to a Texas offseason summer shoot around episode, you are a real one before the casuals hop back on at the end of October, early November. Don't be a casual. Thanks for sticking around. Until then, talk to you soon.
No, tell them there's more of us than there are of them.
Oh, okay.
You have to tell them.
There are more of us than there are of them. That means there are more of us that are pro premarital sex than there are people that are against premarital sex.
Yes.
I think that's a certifiable fact, at least in this country. So there are more of us than there are of them.
Whether it's me, Norlander, Timmy Allen, Kendrick Lamar or Dave Matthews were all.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't think you're in any danger of any of those people being against premarital sex.
Kendrick Lamar just did a whole album about having premarital sex. And marital sex outside of the marriage. It's a complicated album.
I believe that's extramarital sex.
He had extramarital sex.
Personally, I'm not going to speak for you. I can't go that far.
Yeah, that creates problems.
Yeah.
That creates problems. I'm not here to judge anybody, including Kendrick Lamar, but it creates problems. In fairness, premarital sex also can create some problems. But the good outweighs the bad. I think the good outweighs the bad.
We're going to have another regular episode for you here real soon. Thank you for tuning in, watching, subscribing, and we'll talk to you later this week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.